Chapter 26. The Black Spot Again. The council of the buccaneers had lasted some time when one of them re-entered the house, and with a repetition of the same salute, which had in my eyes an ironical air, begged for a moment's loan of the torch. Silver agreed, and this emissary retired again, leaving us together in the dark. "There's a breeze coming, Jim," said Silver, who had by this time adopted quite a friendly and familiar tone. I turned to the loophole nearest me and looked out. The embers of the great fire had so far burned themselves out, and now glowed so low and duskily that I understood why these conspirators desired a torch. About halfway down the slope to the stockade they were collected in a group. One held the light, another was on his knees in their midst, and I saw the blade of an open knife shine in his hand with varying colors in the moon and torchlight. The rest were all somewhat stooping, as though watching the maneuvers of this last. I could just make out that he had a book as well as a knife in his hand, and was still wondering how anything so incongruous had come in their possession, when the kneeling figure rose once more to his feet, and the whole party began to move together toward the house. "Here they come," said I, and I returned to my former position, for it seemed beneath my dignity that they should find me watching them. "Well, let 'em come, lad, let 'em come," said Silver cheerily. The door opened, and the five men, standing huddled together just inside, pushed one of their number forward. In any other circumstances, it would have been comical to see his slow advance, hesitating as he set down each foot, but holding his closed right hand in front of him. "Step up, lad," cried Silver. "I won't eat you. Hand it over. I know the rules." Thus encouraged, the buccaneer stepped forth more briskly, and having passed something to Silver from hand to hand, slipped yet more smartly back again to his companions. The sea cook looked at what had been given him. "The black spot, I thought so," he observed. "Where might you have got the paper?" "Why, look here now, this ain't lucky. You've gone and cut this out of a Bible. What fools cut a Bible?" "Ah, there," said Morgan. "What did I say? No good'll come of that," I said. "Well, you've about fixed it now among you," continued Silver. "You'll all swing now, I reckon. What soft-headed lubber had a Bible?" "It was Dick," said one. "Dick, was it? Then Dick can get to prayers," said Silver. "Belay that talk, John Silver," said the long man with the yellow eyes. "This crew is tipped to the black spot in full council, as duty bound, so you just turn it over and see what's written there. Then you can talk." "Thank you, George," replied the sea cook. "You always was brisk for business, and has the rules by heart. Well, what is it, anyway?" "Ah, deposed, that's it. Very pretty rope, to be sure. Why, you're getting quite a leading man in this here crew, George. You'll be captain next, I shouldn't wonder." "Come now," said George, "you don't fool this crew no more. You're a funny man, but you're over now, and you'll step off that barrel and help vote." "I thought you said you knew the rules," returned Silver contemptuously. "Leastways, if you don't, I do. And I'm still your captain till you out with your grievances, and I reply. In the meantime, your black spot ain't worth a biscuit. After that, we'll see." "Oh," replied George, "don't be under any kind of apprehension. We're all square. First, you've made a hash of this cruise. Second, you let the enemy out of this here trap for nothing. Third, you wouldn't let us go at 'em upon the march. And then fourth, there's this here boy." "Is that all?" asked Silver quietly. "It's enough," retorted George. "Well, now, look here," said Silver. "I'll answer these 4 points, one after another. I made a hash of this cruise, did I? Well, now, you all know what I wanted, and you all know, if that had been done, that we'd have been aboard the Hispaniola, every man of us alive, and the treasure in the hold. Well, who crossed me? Who forced my hand? It was Anderson and Hans and you, George Mary." Silver paused, and I could see by the faces of George and his late comrades that these words had not been said in vain.